openness. They need our help. So we really bring about all the compassion and kindness and openness that we can from our own heart to them. And it doesn't matter to whom. It's like, it's not just certain people that we like and we give them this openness and love. We need to see that everyone basically wants to be happy. And everyone that do a wrong deed is doing it from a place of suffering, doing it from a place of not knowing any better. And by opening our heart to everyone, we include everyone in our own spirit. We don't exclude anyone. Even the we pray and we give this kindness and we give this love to the side that is more oppressing, the side that is doing the injustice. They also worthy of love. They also need love. And with this love, they might change their way. They might change the way that they behave. They might change the injustice. And it's that to fight, as we spoke of many times in this text group, with like bringing fire, bringing animosity, bringing hatred to someone who hates us or doing injustice is just making things worse. So the bodhicitta doesn't know the difference between people. It doesn't say, I love this person and I give compassion to this person and I don't give compassion to that person. It gives compassion to everyone. Everyone is part of this world and everyone needs that. And it's like when the earth itself, it does not support only the people that are righteous, the people that are good. It supports everyone. And it's like if everyone will receive the love of the earth, it does not distinguish between certain different groups of people. So, and the force of love is, and the force of bodhicitta is basically making ourselves as the divine, as the Buddha nature. We actually transform or kind of refine and shed off all the different layers that holds us back from being who we truly are. And this pure heart. Yeah. So it's like these teachings is all about the essence of who we are is pure heart. The essence of who we are is not the possessions that we have, even though we might think sometimes, oh, I live in this house, so it says something about me. And if I will move this house from this house to another smaller house in a different neighborhood, people will say certain things about me and I will not be as powerful as I am today, but this is completely not true. And also the other way around, if I will be in a much bigger house and much bigger position that I will have, I will be a better person. And this is really not the case. And the case is that this is just like very much external to me. It does not really influence the essence of who I am. The essence of who I am is the openness of the heart. And it's like many times we fail to see that. And the teachings of the Bodhisattva is to really connect to that again, connect to this power that we have, connect to the real essence of who we are and the intention of what we need to do in this world. Many times we think about like, it depends on how I look, and we get this attachment to the body, an attachment to youth, or attachment to looking in a certain way, or being strong, or being flexible, or something like this is related to the body. But this is also very external. This is also changing all the time, and this is also do not determine who we are. We can be with wrinkles or with Botox. In both cases, the essence will not change. The essence is the essence. and the essence is the open heart, and so on. So this is the first thing, relative bodhicitta. We find the way to connect to others with our essence and to see how we can give all the time from our essence, because our essence is endless and unlimited. Then we have the second virtues, a virtuous middle, which concerns the illusory accumulation of merit and wisdom. And here we have this second level of wisdom that we have, and this is like, as we mentioned, in relation to bodhicitta, that we have like the relative bodhicitta and the absolute bodhicitta. The absolute bodhicitta would be a really lofty, higher state of being, and then also what we need to understand throughout the practice is not only the state of the bodhicitta, the state of the openness of the heart, the spirit of enlightenment. We also want to combine with that, as we spoke many times, in the wisdom. And we have two wings, like in Buddhism, we speak about two wings. One wing is the compassion and love, and the other wing is the wisdom. And it's like a whole process that we are doing in the practices of Bodhisattva, of realizing the truth, of realizing wisdom, of having wisdom, a true wisdom, of how to act, who to be in this world. So it's like even loving kindness, even just compassion is not enough. And it's like there is like another stage, and beyond that, a stage of wisdom, of seeing things truly as they are. And this is something that we also want to be dedicated to, not to keep just like loving kindness as something that is very new agey. It's like, yes, and very kind of a spiritual bypassing. I love everyone, I'm spiritual, I'm doing my own thing. But to go into a deeper state of like understanding reality, understanding the situation, and understanding what kind of loving kindness to give. Because sometimes I would need to give something very soft to someone, and sometimes I would need to give something very strong and powerful to someone, like being more direct, being more sharp, putting boundaries, as we spoke of many times. So accumulating wisdom and accumulating the understanding also of how very much we are connected or disconnected from reality by illusion. We dedicated few classes for that, few groups, text, classes just for that, for the illusion. How strong is the illusion? How strong? I think one of the illusions that comes up today, which is very, very strong, is that we cannot change the situation. We are too small to change the situation right now. And this is a very, very deep illusion. It's not the case. It's not true. It's like it's really what we think. And we think to ourselves, I am the small one, I'm the small Kobe. What can I do in order to change the whole world? How can I change the whole world? Just me by myself. And this way of thinking is actually putting myself down and putting the whole world down. As we gave the example already of the sesame seeds. I don't know if you remember. We have like two, the scales, And we have on one part of the scale, we have sesame seeds that represent the good deeds, the merit that was done in this world. And then the other side of the scale is all the vicious, the evil, all the bad sins that was made in the world. And both of the scales, each one of the deeds is a sesame seed. It's very small. It's not big. It's like just a small action that each and every human being was doing, good or bad, good or evil. And then we have the meditation or the instruction of the Ari HaKadosh, one of the Kabbalists, is to imagine that these scales are even. This scale are 50-50. And what I am going to do right now, the action that I am going to do right now, is going to shift the scale to be either good or bad, good or evil. It's up to me, with my small action, how the whole world will be. Yeah? And it's up to each and every one of us. If each and every one of us will say, no, I cannot do it, it's like it's too big, it's like I'm not able, this is both denying our true nature of being an unlimited being with pure potential to do anything that we want. And second, denying this opportunity for us to shift things in this world, to make a true change. So this is really important, the actions that we do, the action of kindness that we do, the way that we approach the world as a powerful person, rather than someone that cannot change the situation, that is a victim or helpless in the situation. So it's like as when we see ourselves as a victim, we will be actually create the situation even more. Then the last one is the dedication to enlightenment. And it's like, really, what do we live for? It's like, what is our purpose in this life? I think this is like the third thing that we really very much need to understand in relation to Buddhism, in relation to yoga. Today we can go and like we do yoga, and it's like we can think about, I'm doing this yoga, I'm doing these poses in order to be strong, in order to be healthy, in order to be beautiful, in order to be sexy or whatever. But this is really going away from what yoga can offer us. We do yoga in order to be enlightened. And this is the reason we do yoga. Or this is the reason yoga was, or the people who brought it up, who investigated, who brought it into manifestation, or in the text, in the practices. This is the intention. This is like the potential of the practices to bring us into enlightenment. We shouldn't be careful from this world. From this world, enlightenment is not unachievable. When we think to ourselves like, oh, I can never get that. I can never be in the state of the Buddha. I can never be in the state of the great leaders of this world, the great spiritual masters of this world. Exactly when we say that, we cut ourselves from the light. We cut ourselves from power. We put ourselves down right away. No, our intention is to get to enlightenment. We sit in meditation in order to be enlightened. Without too much pressure on ourselves. This is not about having pressure, but it's like the motivation and what drives us is enlightenment. And why enlightenment? Because when we'll be enlightened, we can help everyone else in much greater way. So it's not a pressure. We might get there this lifetime. We might get there next lifetime. We might get there in few hundreds of lifetimes. It doesn't really matter, but we are going into this direction. We are going into this direction, and we very much stepping on this or walking on this path of liberation. Then we have the last bit that I wanted to work with today. And as the sutra says, all phenomena are caused by circumstance. And so our destiny is determined by what we wish for, depending on the aspirations that we make, we shall obtain results that correspond. So he explains that he gives even a kind of another proof or another reference from the texts that shows, like, look, we are, if we think of ourselves as small, we create these circumstances as well. If we think of ourselves that we cannot, like, create change in the world, we set ourselves into these circumstances of not creating any change in the world. So our intention is really to aspire to be like the Buddha, to be like the people that have this influence to change themselves, the world, and to create a better situation for everyone else. And we want to hold this aspiration really tight. Think about how when we are, we have like a sentence that we spoke of last time or the time before that. Everything is predicted, but we have free will. So it's like we choose everything in this lifetime. We choose everything. There is nothing that we don't choose. Like the circumstances and the things that happens to us is maybe not in our control. It's not in our control, but the way to react to each and everything that happens in our life is in our control. It's up to us how we react to things. It's up to us what we make out of things. And this is really, really important to understand. And it's really cutting off all the excuses. Even if we are in a very, very difficult situation, we have the freedom of choice. We can choose what to do. We can choose how to react. We have always millions of options of how to react to a situation. And as we said many, many times throughout the textbook, neuroplasticity is even now in modern science, there is an understanding of that we can rewire our brain, that we can change, that we can transform, that we don't have to follow our habitual patterns, that we can go into a space where a new space of liberation and act in a different way than what we are used to. And this is the invitation here, to open up our mind, to open up our heart, to go with courage, to do something that maybe we are not used to, but we are able to do. And this will be like ripples affecting and influencing all the other parts of our mandala, as we mentioned. And the whole mandala is actually the whole world. So by changing ourselves, by creating this transformation, by reacting in a new way to situations and choosing our path to enlightenment, we can create a whole different world. So what I would like to really encourage everyone is to keep on doing the practices, keep on reading the texts, keep on doing the meditations, and being very dedicated to this goal, believing in yourself and choosing your path. And this will be benefit not only to yourself, but for everyone around you. And this is really the path of Bodhisattva. Yes, so namaste everyone. Namaste. Yeah, so anything from you guys, any thoughts or comments or questions?
Hi, Kobe.
Jeff, good to hear your voice.
Yes, it's a huge step for me to do this. So, yeah, it's kind of ironic that we talk about the throat chakra and now I start talking because I feel it closing up right now. But I just wanted to share my gratitude for being able to participate with this. Also, I'd like to thank Tegani. She introduced me to it. And thank all of you for being there every week. It helped me a lot through these weeks, especially through this time. I will definitely keep on with the practice. Yeah, that's it. Thank you all. Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff. It was really great to see you. You know, even you haven't said anything, your energy and your dedication was very much present throughout the whole time. And it's like you have a very, very strong aspiration and goodwill that is there completely. So thank you. You have helped me a lot just being present and being dedicated to the practice. So really it's reciprocal. I feel you, and thank you for being here.
Kobe, I want to thank you too. It's been very, very thought-provoking and soul-searching, and I've just enjoyed every one of the verses. I think if you could recommend maybe a book too with all the verses, that'd be wonderful. And also I found myself talking to friends, not in this circle, a lot about these verses. And I liked the way you brought it into our real life and how it applies to our everyday life, because that's the connection sometimes we need to take it one step further. But thank you so much. Really appreciate it. And the rest of you too. I do feel a sense of community, even though you're not right here. I see you and it's a familiar face, and I've really enjoyed it. Thank you.
It's true. It was a complete, thank you, Lori. It was a complete journey that we've done. You can find online many of the PDFs, PDF books of the Bodhisattva. I used the Heart of Compassion. The Heart of Compassion. It's also a commentary, and we gave some quotes from there as well in the group. So this can be a good book as well. You know, with translation is very difficult. Every translation would be different than the other. There is a different way of holding the text, like bringing up the text into a different language. So the translator will always give something of his own to the text. And if sometimes when we seriously study a text, we want to check few texts, few translations, and compare them and to see the way that, like, the tone, the wording, the different vibration that comes up from the text, and then we understand even more deeply the text. So I would take a few of the online translation and just like have them together, because it's not so long. It's like it's, if we print it out, it's like maybe 5 pages. The whole text is like 5 pages. So like having 3 different translations, and you have them in front of you, like this is a way, a good way to study.
That'd be great.
Yeah, I think also another thing is like really, it's in a way like this thing like it came from nowhere, in a way, the coronavirus. But as we said many times, it didn't really came from nowhere. It's like I really think that if we had something else. It's just like, I have this guy, what's his name? I forget all the time his name. I don't know what David is doing there. He's like getting me crazy. Okay. I always forget this guy's name. And he speaks about the economy and he's like from the US. I really want to give you his name because he influenced me lately a lot. Let's see if I can find it. 1 second, sorry.
It's not Chomsky, is it?
No. It's another guy. Yes, here he is. Hey, what's his name? He doesn't say his name. Okay, I will just copy paste it from here. And you can check this guy. It doesn't say his name, but this is a video that he is having. What he is saying basically is that, and I think it's true not only for the economy right now, it's true for many other things. He says that if it was not the coronavirus, because many economists were actually predicting that there will be some kind of a economic collapse in 2020. Like few of them already predicted that. They didn't predict that there will be like a pandemic or something like that, but they predicted there will be some kind of a collapse. And he says, if it was not for that, oh, I didn't send it to everyone. I sent it only to Daisy. Okay. If there was not a virus, there was something else that we're creating because the system was very, very kind of corrupted or not working in the best way or working with a lot of bugs. It's like he mentioned that just in this century, the 21st century, there were already 3 crises, economic crises. Yeah, so it's like we had one in 2001, and then one in 2008, and now the third one already, just in 20 years. It's like it means that something in the system is not really working properly. I think another thing like to that is really happening is what all the things that were happening before is now just accelerated. Now this is like becoming much, much stronger than what they used to be. The segregation that we feel, like the politics that going into like really crazy, like the different systems, public policies that are not working, that it's just so much exposed right now that they're not working properly. And it's like it's accelerated so much in through the coronavirus. So it's like a whole situation of consciousness. We have to understand the whole thing right now. If we just need to back off a bit and see, oh, this is not like this thing that happens and this thing that happens and this thing. It's like there is
Is he frozen for you too?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah, so basically what we say is that it was a period of time that started like in like something like March. The whole world got completely shut down, and there was a lot of ramification for that. And we are getting into kind of a closure right now, where it's like the lockdown is easing in many countries. We are going back to kind of working and all the things that is happening now in the US as well. There is like a we are kind of a closing a chapter in this era, and we start a new one right now. And I think something else is needed right now from us. So it's like the first stage was, okay, let's stay at home. Let's have this slowing down. Let's get like the retreat for ourselves, get stronger in meditation, develop our loving kindness, develop all of these tools. Now we need to go out. Now it's the time for us to go and like to influence and to express and to be strong. And it's another phase. It's another situation now. It's not the situation like in the beginning where things were really not clear. We didn't know what to do. Everywhere it was a complete chaos. We got inside. We didn't want to make even more trouble by disobeying or something like that. And we used this time in order to grow spiritually, to grow mentally, and to do all of the spiritual work. And now, okay, now it's done. Now there is the time for, it's like, in a way, I'm so sorry that I'm not in America right now. It's like, I'm not saying to anyone, God forbidden, what to do. Every person should do what they want to do and what they need to do. But if I was in America right now, I was the first protesters every day, until these things will be changed and the whole situation got much, much better. And I'm happy that in other countries, there are also many protests, and like, because it's much bigger than just America, it's much bigger than just even the Black community. It's we need to change something very fundamental about the world and the way that it is today. I didn't like, as I mentioned in the beginning of the class, that many spiritual teachers didn't say any view or anything to do about these things. And I don't think the right thing is forever staying in the retreat. It's not what we are teaching. It's not what we are following as well. It's like we have an opinion, we have a voice, we have a strength. There are some illnesses in society that we need to heal, and we have the power to heal. And if we just stay all the time in retreat and not have any judgment whatsoever, we'll stay in a rotten society that does not improve in any way. So it's our job as spiritual people to change the world. No one else will do it for us. If we leave it for the capitalist or for whatever political party, we will end up even worse than what we are now. So it's like it's a different phase of our journey, and I'm really hoping that we touched on the tools that are needed for to do these things. And we are not done, as you already know. We are really not done. We have two more. We have more groups are going to be formed very soon. I need just like a week or two to think about the next text that we need to do, that we have. And if you have ideas, if you have thoughts, if you have requests, just send them to me, either personally or through the Facebook. And I think before the end of the month, we will start another group that will be relevant to the situation that we are in, and giving us the tools and like the discussions that are needed for this situation. So I'm really looking forward to that. I think let's use this couple of weeks to rejuvenate, to and also at the same time have these actions of kindness, actions of love, and using the tools that we learned here and accumulated throughout these 2 months. And we will meet again very soon.
I just wanted to thank everyone as well. Kobe, I feel like you've given us a gift in this time where we all were stranded, you know, and what a focus, what a focus. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, it's really, I don't know, it's not really, I'm not saying that as a kind of lip service or something like this. Each and every one of you just coming to the discussion and showing up, opening your mind, opening your heart, doing the practices, is so courageous, so powerful. I think also for me personally, it felt like that I get so much power, so much love and motivation for the practice, for my own practice, for my own journey. So it was really helpful for me. Each and every one of you were really helpful for me. And I'm really happy for this like a community, sense of community that we have. It's very, very special. It's very, very special. So it's beautiful. I'm thinking maybe the next group study we can share with Pazit as well. Like Pazit will do some of the sessions and I will do some of the sessions. And the way it's like, we reflected on that this week, how different we are. We are, it's like almost the opposites. It's like, I'm this like soft, mushy stuff and she's like sharp, and like, I am like spaced out and she's grounded, and so on and so on. Like we just can continue with that forever. It's like we really so different, and I think this is the reason we were able to create kind of a community, or because of our different opposites, contradicting nature of each other, and have many people being able to relate to the dynamic that we have between us. So maybe the next study group, we can be like a collaboration of me and Pazit, and it will be even more successful and powerful. Okay, cool. Much love to everyone. Please don't hesitate to write at any point to me, to text me at any point. I'm really looking forward to receive from you some messages, how things going, any questions. If you need to speak with me personally, just let me know. With Pazit also, just let us know. And have a wonderful couple of weeks, and we'll meet very soon. Much love.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kobe.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks.
Thanks.
You same.
Thank you so very much for this unbelievable anchor.
Thank you.
Becky. Bye-bye.